have your Bibles tonight. I want to draw your attention. These are very difficult and unique times. No one has ever, in our lifetime, ever seen something like this. We've never seen the idea of keep your distance from everybody. We've never seen the time when 6 million people, 7 million people lost their job in a week. We've never seen our economy crater like this. But I just remind you that there are more people that are walking together on the sidewalk now. Couples walking around, people having dinner together. Now, I realize that for 6 million that don't have a job, or 10 million now that don't have a job, you might be sitting around the table and worrying about the next meal. And so what my desire is tonight is to all of us in this room have got to realize one thing. Everybody's going to face difficulty. You can't look at it and say, well, you don't know my circumstances. Everybody in this room, you can show me anybody you want, and I can find somebody on this earth that's got it worse than you. I remember reading a little article about a young couple that was married and happily so, and she was in a pickup truck, and she was stopped at a stoplight in the trunk here in the back, and it took the tailgate and knocked her through the back window and broke her neck. And she was in the hospital there, and she was an awful sight. And her husband walked in and looked at her, and keep in mind, she's teetering between death and life, and her husband walks in and says, I don't want to be married to that, and he walked out. Very few people would be in a circumstance more dire than that young lady's. There are people, if you were to walk into St. Jude Children's Hospital, when I was in Memphis for many years, we'd go to our youth group would go to the hospital and take toys to the children and pray with the families. And I can tell you there are some circumstances there where a husband's lost his job, his child has cancer, and they don't know what to do. And you see that little one behind the glass, and they're struggling for their life. I want you to know there's nobody here in this area, this room right here. You begin to look at the people of Temple Baptist Church, we can always find somebody that's got it worse off. But we got to realize that trouble comes to us all. And I begin to think about it. When you realize difficulty comes to us all, you can think about in Scripture, who has suffered like this and walked steadily forward? Who has had the face of trouble front and center and still maintained a pleasant and sweet walk? Who still maintained a relationship with the great God of heaven with sweetness and joy and trust? You begin to look through Scripture and, you know, you begin to see various ones, Hezekiah, and he laid out his letter before the Lord, but at the end of his life, he struggled. Look at Solomon, all the blessings at the end of his life, he struggled. When difficulty came, they struggled. You look at Demas in the New Testament. When difficulty came, he struggled. And so I want you to have hope tonight. I want you to understand that it is possible that we can face difficulty and still honor the Lord and still do what's right and still have the acceptance of God. I want you to understand that tonight. Now I want you to see, you can have financial trouble. I think many people can take a lot of things, but financial trouble is really difficult. You lose your job. There is loss of family, bereavement. It's irreparable. How do we handle that? Our own health issues. We face very difficult health issues, perhaps. But I got to thinking about one man that had all those things and yet didn't sin. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Job chapter 2, if you would please. Job chapter 1, I'm sorry. Job was the poster child for God's blessing. I want you to see it tonight. Notice if you would in verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. In other words, the Bible said that he was perfect, he was righteous, there was no sin in his life that wasn't confessed. He had a direct connection with the Lord. He's in the Old Testament. Now, I would remind you, he doesn't have necessarily the scriptures like we and I do. He doesn't have a church to go to. He just knows God personally. And he's got a direct connect between he and the Lord, and that's all that mattered. And so God loved him for it. He didn't have the support we have of even live streaming. Or now we don't have the support of local church. We can get together and shake hands and encourage one another and pray for one another. We can still pray for each other. But Job didn't have that. Now, you'll notice that he had family and he had some wealth. And so you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 2, and there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. So he had 10 children, and he's so excited, and they had such a sweet relationship. As a matter of fact, his 7 sons each picked a day of the week and invited all their sisters and brothers and families over. So every day of the week, they went to a different brother's house and feasted together. What a great family. Notice, if you would, Job had a lot of wealth. His substance in verse 3 was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. So he's one of the wealthiest men on earth. And his sons went, verse 4, and feasted in their houses. So each one's got a home. Everyone his day. And sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. So they just rotated, it sounds like. Sunday is Joseph, and Monday is Thomas, and Tuesday, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In verse 5, and it was so that when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them. Job sent animals to sacrifice, and he was worried about his sons. He had a burden for his family. Job did everything right. He was walking with the Lord. He had a great family. He had a great job. He had money. He had everything in the world. He had great health. He had a wonderful wife. Everything was going great. And then the old devil stepped up and said, well, there's a reason why he loves you. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 8, the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth? In verse 9, then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Does Job respect you and love you and serve you without a reason? Sure he has. You've blessed him. You've been good to him. Now, we in America, God's been good to us. He's blessed everybody in this room. Everybody in the last stream, he's blessed you. You got a refrigerator. You've got foodstuffs. You've got vehicles. Whether or not you have a job or not, you have a measure of health because you're able to watch. You have eyesight. If you don't have that and you're listening, you got ears. Hearing. We've been blessed. Well, you'll know the story. Verse 10, hast thou not made a hedge about him? You know what? God put a hedge around America. We've been isolated from all this stuff, but not now. It's like God pulled back his hands from this world and said, okay, Satan, you can have it. And we're in a pandemic, a worldwide catastrophe, health-wise. No one is really exempt. And so now it's up to us. How are we going to handle it? I want you to notice, we have to realize difficulties come to all of us. Now I want you to notice, if you would, in chapter 1, look in verse number 14. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the ass and feeding him beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. In other words, you lost all of your oxen. And you'll notice in verse 16, while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, fire of God fell from heaven. And hath burned up the sheep. He lost all of his flocks. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 17, while he was yet speaking, said the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and carried them away. In verse number 18, now he's penniless. He's lost his wealth. That could happen to us. The stock market has dropped so dramatically that many people have lost so much wealth, they're panicked. Job didn't panic. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 18, while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, thy sons and thy daughters are eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. Behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house and fell upon the young men, and they are dead. Now he's lost all of his family. He's bereaved. So he's lost his wealth in 10 minutes. And 10 minutes later, he loses all of his children. He's lost his family. He's bereaved. You'll notice, if you would, verse 20. Then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell upon the ground and worshiped. He still did what was right. Now, I want you to understand, he hasn't yet been attacked with his health. Then you'll notice, if you would, in verse number chapter 2, in verse number 3, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my Job, my servant Job? There's none like him. And notice, if you would, in verse 3, and still he holdeth his fast, his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause. Now, he didn't touch him physically, but he said, God understands that Satan was trying to destroy him inside. Job was still healthy. His wife was still healthy. But he was bereaved of his children and his family, and all of his wealth was gone. He said, you've tried to get me to destroy him. God knows the things that are important to us. God knows that we need a measure of wealth. God knows we need our children and our families, and that they're important to us. And when they're taken away, there's a certain amount of destruction that happens in the heart. God says, you moved me to destroy him. You moved me to back up and let you destroy Job. And yet he's still faithful. He still holds his integrity. So he looks at him and said, look, I want you to understand. I know what's happening to Job, and yet he hasn't broken. He's still walking sweetly with me. He worshiped whenever he lost everything. And so Satan said, verse 4, Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. You haven't touched the one thing that's important to every man yet. What's that? But put forth thine hand, verse 5, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he'll curse thee to thy face. You know, many a man has cursed God because of difficulties. It's not right. Or they've blamed other people for their own troubles. It's not right. Verse number six, so the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he's in thine hand, but save his life. I want you to see two things about this passage. Number one, God allowed Satan permission to take away Job's health. But he also put a hedge and said, but you can't kill him. So tonight, God has given permission to Satan to take away our stock market wealth, or maybe a job. Or maybe you have cancer and he allowed him to take away your health. But God said, you can't take their life. And maybe God has allowed a sweet family member to be taken from you, like my sweet Susan. You and I have to learn to deal with those difficulties, because everybody has them at some point in time. The question is, how will you handle it? Will you continue to walk steady in the face of trouble? That's what God needs you to do. That's the testimony he needs every servant of his, to walk steady in the face of trouble. He loves you. He's counting on you and a need to do what is right in the face of trouble. So you'll notice, verse 7, so Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sores, boils, from the sole of his head unto his crown. So he breaks out in boils that you can scrape blisters all over his arms and legs and feet, all the way all over his body. He must have been an awful mess to look at. And it breaks his wife. Verse 9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Why don't you just blame God? Why don't you just curse him and let him kill you? Folks, there's a purpose for all of us in this room when we face trouble. And it's to sweetly carry the load for Christ's sake. It's to sweetly adore him in the face of trouble. It's to test. Everyone in this room, realize, you must understand, you're going to face trouble in your life. And one of those three fashions, health, bereavement, financial. I want you to notice, we must understand that why they come our way, why difficulties come our way, why we face trouble. Well, one, they come to correct us of sin. Notice Job 8 and verse 6. Job 8 and verse 6. This is Bildad, the Shuhite. He says to Job, if thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would make would awake for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. So he said, look, this is a false doctrine that he's saying here. But he's saying, look, if you would get right with God, he would bless you again. That's not always the case. But I want you to notice, if you would, in verse number 22 of chapter 1 of Job. Watch this. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now, sometimes it is to correct sin. But in Job's life, it wasn't. It wasn't to correct sin. But many times it is to get our attention. Maybe in America, it's to get us to come back to the Lord. Maybe it's now that many of us in this room, we could turn around and say, Lord, I need you. I'm sorry. And you can think about things that we've done. I remember when I've said it before, but when Susan went into the hospital and she had been in the hospital, I think she'd been in the hospital like 35 or 40 days. And I do believe it was in Reston Hospital. So that was about 60 days in the hospital. And she looked over at me and she said, honey, I just want you to know one thing. I said, what's that, sweetheart? She said, I want you to know that everything's right in my heart. I said, what do you mean? She said, I just want you to know that these troubles that I'm facing are not because of sin. Because I love the Lord, and as far as I know, everything's right between he and I. I want you to know something. That gave me great comfort. Not that I thought it was sin, but that she was trying to make sure I knew that this trouble was for a different reason than to correct some sin in her life. I could have told you it was. Notice, if you would, not only that, but difficulties are to test our resolve and build us to where we have a closer walk with the Lord. And so now in this particular case in the book of Job, it was not necessarily a test for God to see. God already knew the answer. God already knew that Job was going to be faithful. But Satan didn't know it. And so I guess my question is tonight, when we're tested, does Satan believes every one of us here will curse when we're put under the pressure? That we'll get angry when we're put under the pressure? That we'll lose our spirit whenever we're put under pressure? That when we lose our job, we'll blame God? That all of us will crack? But God knows in his heart actually what we're going to do. And he knows there are some people that won't crack. He knew that about Job before the test ever came. But I want you to know something. I want to give God that assurance. I don't know about you, but I want the Lord to know if I put Dave Pittman under this pressure and give him this test, he's going to pass it because I know him. Oh, Lord, please. That's what I want. I want you to notice sometime, and this is a rare one, it is to encourage others. I mean, I don't know that the Lord always allows difficulty to come in people's lives, but sometimes it's to cause others to say it can be done. It's to encourage other people and show them the way of how you're to walk. when you're facing trouble. In other words, the pleasantness of spirit. And I could think of some men and women in our church that have gone through some very difficult times. And the way they walked through it was such a joy to my heart. It so encouraged my heart. And so all I'm saying is that all of us need that Job. There's a reason why Job is written in the scriptures. It's to give us all hope that it can be done. And it's to let you and I know that it can be catastrophic. And it can still be done. But it's to let us know that you can be like Job's wife or you can be like Job. It can go either way. That's what a test does. Now, I don't know about you, but I didn't like tests in high school or college. Seminary, I didn't like it. We have one of our teachers today here. And you teach Algebra 1? Okay, Algebra 2? Okay. So the idea is to get Algebra 1 and you to get tested to see if you know these points and these points and these points. And you begin to say, well, I know Algebra 1. It says, okay, now I got some more tests for you. So you can go to Algebra 2 and Algebra 2 and Algebra 2. And then pretty soon you got, well, we got calculus. Well, I mean, we just keep building on. What's past physics or calculus? See, there's a point there where God says, look, I still keep building in your life. There's not an end to it. You know what I'm saying? Look, he says, look, there's never a day when you've reached the height. So there's always something else we learn from God that he's testing, allowing the old devil to put a pressure on us so that we can become more like him. Job passed those tests. Job is an example for us, all of us. But he did suffer. Make no mistake about it. And none of us want to be like Job, but many of us in this world and in America are suffering financially. Many of us are, I don't know of very many people in America that haven't lost money this last week. Maybe you're struggling emotionally now. Well, understand, we must remember that why difficulties come. They're never to break us. Our math teacher here tonight, his wife just saying, never gives a test to break a child, to show them how dumb they are. The test is always in hopes that they learn something and then go into the next step. Now, Brian's a good guy, but he's not like the Lord. And maybe one day he does have that kind of a spirit. I pray not, and that's not like him. But I want you to understand it's like the devil. He always wants to give you a test, just wanting you to fail. He wants to hurt you, he wants to hurt the people that see you, and he wants to hurt God. Now, God says, I want to help you. Part of the reason for me allowing this test in your life is so that you can step up to the next level. So that I can be, use you in different areas. So that I can use you as a tool in this person's life, in this person's life. And many people never get to that point. They're always needing help. They're always needing someone's attention to try to help them get through this test. And they fail. And they take another test. And they fail. And take another test. And they fail. And so their whole life is built about trying to pass the test. And they don't. And they fail. And sooner or later, they just have to say in their mind, I know why this is coming, but I just can't seem to pass the test. When you lean upon the Lord, he always helps you pass the test. But you can't do it alone sometimes. Now, I want you to notice, we must reason through the paths that can take us through facing difficulties. What are they? Well, there are different choices we can make when we run up face to face with trouble. Everybody in this room. I mean, you run up face to face with a health issue, you've got three or four choices. One, you can just quit, give up, say, I don't want to. Notice if you would, verse 9 of chapter 2, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. Just quit, Job. That's what she said. Just quit. Now, I'm sure she's a sweet lady, but I tell you what, all of us have a point to where we can break without the Lord. Every one of us do. Without the Lord's strength and help, every one of us in this room would break without God's strength and grace. And so Job is relying upon the Lord, and his wife just just was weaker and just broke when she saw her husband and all the boils in his life and his wealth being gone and their children lost. A mother losing all of her children in one 15-minute time would be devastating. And she saw that, and then she see her husband near death and in agony, and she says, just quit, Job. Just quit going to heaven. We can all quit. There are, I've been a part of suicides. I've preached them. I've consoled families where people just couldn't go on. But if you are relying upon the Lord, you can go on. You can take that path. You can give up. Two, we can confess our sin. We can see what we've done wrong. And we can say, Lord, I'm sorry. I can remember one time there was we took the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper is a reminder in 1 Corinthians 11 that says, look, make sure your sin is gone. Make sure you're clean. Make sure you've confessed yourself before the Lord and that things are right between you and the Lord, because he says, I'll make you sick, or some have died by taking the Lord's Supper with sin in their life. Well, I want to remember what Jesus did for me, but I'm still going to have this bitterness. I'm going to remember what Jesus did for me, but I'm still going to be angry at that person. So God says, oh, no, you don't. You can't do that. There's a penalty for that. And so I remember one time years ago, a man was mad at his wife. We had the Lord's Supper. And he said, he called me, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. We had Lord's Supper on Sunday night, and he was angry at his wife, and he went ahead and took the Lord's Supper. And Monday he got deathly ill, just sick. He couldn't believe how sick he got that quick. And he's trying to figure out what's going on and why am I so sick, you know, what did I eat? And he's sorting through it, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit brings it to his mind. You're still angry at your wife. And you took the Lord's Supper last night. You thank me for saving you while you're holding on to this bitterness to your wife. And he said, it just hit me. And I got out of my bed and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Sometimes facing trouble is to bring us to our knees. And then he called me. He said, Pastor, you know, I just want you to know the story. I got sick, deathly ill on Monday. And I always read that verse. You've read that verse for years in the Lord's Supper. And he said, I never experienced it, but, you know, I was mad at my wife last night or a couple nights back. And I took the Lord's Supper. And, boy, I was so sick on Monday. I thought I was going to die. And I began to sort through my life. And it, the Holy Spirit pointed out my sin. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. So, Pastor, I just want you to know, God does keep his word in 1 Corinthians 11. If you partake of the Lord's table, with sin in your life, there's a penalty for that. He said, and I just experienced it. So sometimes facing trouble, illness, facing trouble, financial trouble, causes us to say, Lord, what have I done? And we get things right. So that's the path we can take. And I think anytime we face trouble, we should always get on our knees and say, Lord, is there sin in my life? Search me, O God, and see if there be any way in me. Lord, please help me. You'll notice number three, we can question God and say, why? That's not what we should do. But many a person has said, Lord, why did you allow this to happen? His thoughts are above our thoughts and his ways are above our ways. It's not up to us to question the Lord. And I understand that that's difficulty. That's a difficulty to say, Lord, I don't understand why this happened. Let me give you a thought in my mind. I don't question it. Susan was one of the sweetest Christians that I knew. She loved the Lord. She wanted to do what was right. She was a lady of integrity. And yet, I watched her for 77 days suffer as much as anybody I've ever seen. And I said, Lord, I don't understand, but I'll trust you. What I'm trying to say is that she never complained. And so I had such great respect for her, as her spirit was much like Job's. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And I said, Lord, make me like that. I learned a lesson watching her, because she never looked at me and said, why is God doing this to me? That's one path you can take. if that's what you want. But understand this, the character of God, and this is wonderful, I can tell everybody this, is that He loves you and that He cares for you and He wants to bless you. He does hate sin. He does correct sin. But He loves you and He doesn't want us to hurt. You notice in Job, He looked at Satan and said, okay, you can take away his wealth, but that's it. And then He came back and said, well, you know, God, you protected his physical health. Well, okay, you can do that, but you can't have his life. And you'll notice at the end that God blesses him twice as much. Because God said, Job, I am so proud of you. You're going to see at the end of the message, God was far more proud of Job than you can imagine. For the way he faced trouble. Notice, if you would, you can always trust the Lord. Take your Bible and turn to Job 13, if you would. Job 13, verse 15. I have this verse marked in my Bible, so when I face trouble, I know what I'm supposed to do. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. Okay? Number one, in my heart, I'm going to trust him to always do me right. I know he always has a plan for me that's better than me, than mine. And I'm going to trust him. Now, I know Job didn't enjoy losing his wealth and his family and his children. But he said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. And God uses all of us as tools to win other people to Christ. Job's 10 children are in heaven today. And their children, they're in heaven today. But I know this. Job says, Lord, I don't understand, but I will trust you. And in trusting you, I will maintain mine own ways before you. I'm going to keep talking to you every morning. I'm going to notice, if you would, to go back to Job 1. I want you to see this. Job 1, notice this. In verse 5, the last part, it says, it may be my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. He continually prayed for his children and his sons. He continually offered up lambs and offerings for his sons and daughters for their spiritual growth. And you'll notice that he was always doing the right thing. And you'll notice twice he said, thus Job sinned not. So Job said, I'm going to maintain my integrity, my determination to walk with the Lord, my determination to trust him. I don't have to know everything. I know him. I'll trust him. That's the way we're to face trouble. I don't understand why that person said this, but I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust the Lord. I don't understand why my boss chewed me out because I didn't do it, but I'm going to trust the Lord. I've had that happen before. I've had pastors that I work for yell at me and get mad at me, and I didn't do it. I've even gotten fired before at a church for something I didn't do. And the pastor never to this day has told me he's sorry. He's gotten other people to say, tell Dave Pittman I'm sorry, but he hasn't come to me. That was 40 years ago. It's okay. Lord, I trust you. I don't work for Temple Baptist Church. I work for you. If they treat me great, Lord, thank you. I want to be treated well like anybody else. But Lord, I trust you. You and I have to learn, you go to work for the FBI, but you work for the Lord. You go to work for NASA, but you work for the Lord. I mean, you go down to work for the restaurant, but you work for the Lord. And you got to realize if you lose that job, you haven't lost the Lord. And so he says, learn to trust me. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Such a total trust. Now, we must recognize in the end, God will get the glory and he'll always bless us. I want you to notice Job 42 and verse 8. Now for about 40 chapters, Job's friends blasted him. They said, it's your fault, Job. I mean, I could understand how he went through the loss of his family and his wealth better than I can. His best friends blasted him for I don't know how many weeks and months, blaming him. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. And Job said, I'm telling you guys, My heart's clean. It can't be. This doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. And well, you notice, if you would, in Job 42:1, Job says this. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything. Lord, I know you're the mighty God of heaven. There's nothing you can't do. And that no thought can be withheld from thee. And therein is why Job did the right thing. He said, Lord, I know you're watching me and I know you see all my thoughts. And Lord, I only want to think the thoughts that please you. So though you slay me, yet will I trust you and yet will I walk with you. And you look at Daniel. He had exactly the same mindset. He said, they made a rule, you can't pray. He said, that they can make that rule, but I'm going to talk to the Lord. Though they slay me, yet will I talk with him, yet will I trust him, yet will I be close to the Lord. You get that from Daniel. Noah, they might made fun of Noah for 100 and something years, and yet he kept doing the right thing. And he won his own family to Christ, and he won his daughter-in-laws to Christ. He just did the right thing, and he only won 8 people with him. God loves people to do what's right in the face of trouble. You'll notice what God's thought of is of Job. Verse number six, wherefore, well, I want to just read to you what Job was saying to the Lord of heaven after he lost everything. And let's see if you and I can have this spirit after the loss of everything that's dear to us, including our own health. Verse 1, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that though no thought can be hidden withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Notice, if you would, in verse number 4. Hear, I beseech you, and I will speak. O demand of thee, and declare thou unto me, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Lord, I see your hand moving in my life. I've lost everything, but Lord, I see your hand moving in my life. Verse 6, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Everything is right, but Lord, I'm still a sinner. And I still want you to know I'm sorry. And Lord, I know I'm not perfect. But Lord, I see you and I know you're great and mighty and there's nothing you can't do. And then notice in verse 7. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job. Now watch this. My wrath is kindled against thee, speaking to Eliphaz, and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me that thing which is right, as my servant Job hath. Okay, he goes to Job's friends and says, you haven't spoken right of me. You claim to speak for me and you blasted my servant Job for 40 chapters. Notice what he says in verse number 7. And have not spoken of that which is right, as my servant Job hath. Job kept doing what's right for 40 chapters. Therefore, verse 8, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. You know what? He knew Job was not going to be bitter toward those 3 friends that had blasted him for 40 chapters because he kept passing every test. He would face difficulty. You know, the one last difficulty I didn't tell you that Job faced, the loss of his friends, friendship. Job, if you'd have done this, Job, you're a lousy Christian. Job, you're fake. Job, whenever you take everything away, you're phony. We could see it now. You're nothing. We thought you were a great man. You are not a great man. You are just a fake in our sight and we can't believe you. They just tore Job down. And the Lord says, Job, would you pray for them? Because I respect you. Now watch this. Listen to what he says. And my servant, this is verse 8, shall pray for you, for him will I accept. I want you to understand something. After all the tests, if those few words can be said about me, that's all I care about. For him will I accept. That's what you live for. You face all your troubles and you live for the idea, Lord, am I acceptable to you? That's what you live for. That's the joy of serving the Lord. Because one of these days, the Lord's going to come and get us and take us home. And what pandemic then? When you step foot inside heaven, what pandemic? When you step foot inside heaven, what test? What loss in the stock market when you step foot inside heaven? Him will I accept, Lord, am I acceptable in your sight? That's what you ought to be living for today. Notice if you would, in verse number 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now, when you and I do what's right in the face of trouble, God always blesses us beyond what we could deserve. He blessed him twice, doubled everything that he had. Now, I want you to notice this. And he doubled his children. He gave him 10 more. So now he had 20, 10 in heaven and 10 now. But I want you to notice this. I want you to understand, if you have your Bible, look at the respect that Job earned with the God of heaven. Take your Bible and turn to Ezekiel. If you would, Ezekiel chapter 14. Ezekiel chapter 14. Now, this is Ezekiel speaking to the elders of Israel. They had sinned, would not return back to the Lord. And notice, if you would, in verse 13. Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it. And maybe that's what's happening to America today. As a land, we've sinned against the Lord. We've aborted our babies. We've done all kinds of things that are wicked. We've condemned all kinds of unrighteousness. And God says, when the land trespasses against me, and I stretch out my hand against it, I move my hand back and say, okay, Satan, you can have it. And we'll break the staff of bread thereof. Go to the grocery store and there's no more bread. And we'll send famine upon it, and we'll cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord. I'll respect those three men, and that's all that'll survive. Because those three men faced trouble and came out of it with my respect. I accept them. Noah, 120 years of mockery, survived the flood, did what was right. Trained a godly family in the midst of the most wicked generation on the earth. Daniel, he survived three different regimes, and every one of them, he rose to the top. After being taken from his homeland, perhaps his own parents killed, he just kept rising to the top. Lord, I want you first. I want you first. An excellent spirit. And they could not break Daniel. And then Job. And God says, I'm going to bless you, Job. And Job, God did. And he included him in the three of the greatest Christians of the Old Testament. These three men. I don't know about you, but I would love for God to accept me like this. Now, I want you to notice the last blessing. If you have your Bible, turn to James chapter 1. Now, I want you to understand this. Everybody in this room can have this blessing. Everybody in this room, if you face trouble and walk through it right, sweetly, if you walk steady through trouble, verse 12, James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he has tried the temptation to quit, the temptation to blame God, the troubles of this life, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised them that love him. The only way you and I can walk through the troubles of this life, the temptation to blame God for the loss of your job, the temptation to blame God for the loss of children or wife or husbands, the temptation to blame God for anything, the temptation not to trust the Lord, not to do what's right, when you lose your friends, he said, when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. God has a special crown. I remember hearing the story of a Navy SEAL in Afghanistan. They made a movie about it, but his team was pinned down. And his team had been shot up. And he could tell that they weren't any of them going to make it out alive. And he had to call for help. But his satellite phone, sat phone, didn't work where he was. He had to get to the top of this rock where he knew he would have signal and he could call for help. So he said, guys, I'm going to go to the rock right there and I'm going to call out for help. You cover me. You know, if you do, it's probably a death sentence. We got to call for help. So he goes to the top of that rock and he gets killed. In the process, he gives them the coordinates. They come, and they save the rest of the team, just a few. But I noticed the pictures of his mother and dad, his family, when they received the Congressional Medal of Honor. What a treasure to know your son gave everything for somebody else. Can you imagine what it would be like to receive the crown of life from the King of Kings? When you step foot inside heaven and say, and call your name, Paul, I'm so proud. Job, I'm so proud of the way you handled that trouble. I grieved when I had to pull my hands back. But I knew there was no way to show Satan how much you loved me. I knew you would do right, Job. I was proud of you. I'd accepted you all the way, Job. And here, I want to give you this crown, the crown of life. Now, I believe we take those crowns and lay them back at Jesus' feet. But I sort of picture it like when we come to Christmas time, I want to have presents under the tree that I give to people that I love. He said in James 1:12, to them that love him. So if you're going to pass the test of trouble you face and be acceptable with God, if you're going to walk steady, you've got a purpose in your heart. Lord, I'm going to trust you through this. Lord, I know you. Lord, I need your strength. How are you facing trouble that you're looking at today? Will you receive the crown of life for your faithfulness? Will you be accepted of God for your faithfulness? It's easy to quit. Most people do. Most people blame God at some point in their life. Most people say it's not worth it. Most people ask, why, God? Why are you doing this to me? Most people don't get stronger as the result of the test, so they can be better used of God. Are you walking steady through trouble? Job did. And you know what? That gives me hope. And I tell you this. If there's anything in my life I want to be accepted of the Lord. Today, what do you want in life? We all face trouble. You got to realize that. And remember, there's always a reason for the trouble. And you got to understand, that you've got to, that God wants to be able to brag on you, and he wants the glory. And the only way that can happen is if you're acceptable in his sight, so that he can bless you. Let's bow for a prayer tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Maybe tonight you're facing trouble. We all are. If you live in this country, you're facing trouble. Will you recognize that in the end, God will win the victory? Will you recognize that in the end, God will bless you if we pass the test? Let's not wonder why this trouble is coming. Let's purpose in our heart that we're going to pass the test. That we're going to be like Job. We're going to ignore when friends forsake us, when family forsakes us, when we lose family members, when we lose health, when we lose wealth. But Lord, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts tonight. Help us to learn to put you first in our lives, even in the midst of trouble. Lord, we all face it. It's not if, it's just when. And Lord, then it's will we walk steady through trouble. Lord, bless tonight. I pray that you'd ask of all of us, will you serve me in the midst of trouble? And Lord, help us to always say, yes, Lord, I'm yours. In your name we pray. Amen.